I just want to give you a warning. We'll be using some mature language in this week's podcast, and by mature language, I mean, of course, immature language, language that's off-color and mildly offensive. So if you're listening in your office, put the headphones on. Children, if you're listening with your parents, make them go out of the room. And if you're listening over the speakers in your living room, I'm talking to you, SF Panda, just make sure the impressionable house pets are out of the room. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 255, Finding the Line. So I'm standing in the dressing room at the New Victory Theater with Reed Martin.
Reed Martin here.
And Matt Rippey.
And Austin Titchener.
And Austin Titchener, all of us in various stages of undress, getting ready for our Saturday night show here at the New Victory, our third performance. And we've had some of the most interesting conversations we have in our professional lives. And it really reveals the kinds of conversations that we have in our comedy business, because the New Victory bills itself as family theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Family theater. And what I love about their programming is that it's interesting theater that's suitable for families. Mm-hmm. It's not theater for kids that parents have to endure. It's really good theater, and if kids will like it too. But that makes it a challenge for a comedy group
who loves juvenile toilet humor.
Who loves juvenile, yeah. Our sense of humor is about the fifth or sixth grade sense of humor. So we had an hour-long conversation the other night about what in the show was appropriate and what we were going to have to change. And it was very interesting.
Well, they read the script and they marked about, I don't know, 15 or 18 places where, in fairness, they just said, we need to look at these.
Right.
And we said, yeah, there were two or three where we said, yeah, we should just cut this. This isn't going to play. And then most of it, they and we agreed, well, let's do it once at the dress rehearsal and see what plays.
Were flags, you say, Reed, that were based on just reading the script, mm-hmm. right? Which, so without seeing it in context, then who knows? And maybe they just have like a New Victory program that they run the script through that just goes,
right.
Well, Mary Rose Lloyd, the artistic mm-hmm. director at the New Victory, had seen the sports performance. Seen us perform sports at Princeton at the McCarter Theater. I don't know how a year
think,
ago.
Yeah, last September.
Last fall, and she had said right then on the night, "Great, you're coming to the New Victory next year. We'll figure out when." So nothing in that performance in Princeton flagged her as, "Oh my God, we could never have this show here at the New Victory." So we knew. I think we knew we were going to be okay. So we're coming in, but we did have to have this conversation.
Well, and it's the conversation we had a year and a half ago when we did the Shakespeare show here, mm-hmm. is that there were, about the same number of places where you go, is this going to play to kids? Is it appropriate? And we had the discussion, and it ended up there's two or three places where we had to change something, and mostly we left it as it was. I mean,
And it's not only inappropriate material, it's material that the kids aren't going to get, because it's references to Martina Navratilova or movies from the 70s and the 80s that these kids have no idea what we're talking about.
Although it turns out they do. They're laughing just as much as...
Right.
So some things you think, oh, the kids aren't going to get this, and they do.
They're not big on the oeuvre of Kevin Costner.
I will agree with that. Yeah. So we're sitting around this table for about an hour talking about, well, can we say hell? Can we say damn? Can we say ass? Can we say balls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's the difference between crap and shit?
Yeah. Right.
Apparently one's okay and one's not.
Right.
We have a Russian character named Elena Kachakakov.
That's right.
Which was deemed that, and I don't disagree, that might not be an appropriate name for a kid's
show. So we changed Elena Kachakakov to Elena Kachajunkov.
Yes.
And what was great about that first student performance is that we tried a lot of things, or not a lot, but a handful of things, and to see these lines in context of performance, and to see the context of what we're talking about, to see the context in which we're playing it, because one person will say something inappropriate, and the other two will go, oh, you know, because the other characters in the play are saying that's inappropriate.
Well, I don't watch a lot of primetime TV, but because of the fall, there's some new shows I wanted to see.
Right.
And I'm watching stuff on primetime TV, and it's far bluer than anything we do in this show. So I think I just need, not that I need to watch more, but I guess I need to be more aware of what's playing on network TV.
Well, I mean, yes, and we've always said that. We've always said that we don't say anything that you can't say on network TV, but that is not really a ringing endorsement.
Well, and the other
thing, it's a very low bar.
Well, there's a couple of things. Well, there's several things that they're trying to deal with here. One, at a student show, the parents are not there. So the students are coming with teachers, and so the teachers have to be extra careful that they're not going to see anything that the parents would not deem appropriate. The kids are fine with all of it. The kids show love, you know, they loved it. And and when the kids are there with their parents, it's fine, because if parents are bringing their kids to theater, these are usually families that go out and see a lot of things, and you know, and it's if it's something you don't agree with, it's a point of discussion. It's not something to walk out on.
Right. Yeah. Right. You hit it on the head. It's the chain of responsibility.
Yeah.
The
right.
teachers don't want to hear from the parents about what they took their kids to see at the theater.
Right.
The teachers don't want to get letters or phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the people here at the lovely New Victory Theater don't want to get phone calls or letters from the teachers who are worried about letters from the parents.
Although they're okay with a few of those. They just want to don't want to be deluged.
Well, and Mary doesn't want to lose her job, and we want to keep coming back here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
all of the above. Now this afternoon at
the matinee.
You can
see why this conversation went on for an hour after our first preview.
Well, and this afternoon at the matinee, we had a lot of younger kids. They're advertising it for the for 10 and up.
Yeah.
But you know that means they're going to be coming in younger, which is fine. I mean,
we brought our
kids came, you know, when they were carrying them to our shows. But this afternoon, we thought in the first act especially, and then people sort of warmed up and it was fine, that there was a lot of retired people and then some families with young kids. And we had a little feeling in the first act that some of the older folks who were okay with the humor were a little concerned that maybe it wasn't okay with the younger kids. But then they all figured out, they all like it, it's all funny, it's good.
Right.
Mary Rose says, you know, there's always one thing from out of left field. You see a dress rehearsal, you read the script, you're not expecting it, and one person said, there's a moment where I say, oh my gosh, I am a nerd, and I take out my inhaler and take a hit.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, you know, we don't want to make the kids who have inhalers feel bad.
Right.
Right.
So just think that.
Nerds are
think
people
through
too.
That moment.
Right. But and yet again, the dramatic moment is we're calling your character a nerd, and you're rejecting the label.
Right.
You pull out your inhaler.
I'm a nerd because I like baseball.
You're a nerd because you like baseball, and then because everybody's a nerd about something. I mean, that's kind of the subtext of the scene. And so you finally go, all right, I'm a nerd, and we go, yes, you are a nerd. That's awesome. You know, that's an awesome thing.
And besides, what I said to Mary is, I said, look, you know, all these nerds who are feeling so sensitive about now as they get bullied at school, I'm fine with them being bullied, because you know what? Later on in life, they're gonna make 10 times more money than we all make, because they're gonna be
true.
The CEOs, the Steve Jobs, and the Bill Gates of this world.
I'm David Carlyon, and I wrote Dan Rice, the most famous man you've never heard of, and this is the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Did I do good?
Where can you RSC the RSC? For the next 2 weeks, you can see us performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the New Victory Theater in New York City. And next month, we'll premiere our latest stage show, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
The two things that I think were the biggest things that we had to talk about were issues of sexuality, because we have a whole section on the gay games, and then issues of race, or racial slurs, because we have two things. We have a point about the gay games. Mm-hmm. We talk about the gay games, and I thought it was fascinating to discover that there is such a thing as a gay games featuring the cream of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender athletes. So we celebrate it, and in the way we celebrate it is to point out the. The inherent homoeroticism.
Did you just giggle like a girl?
I did just giggle like a girl.
Okay.
The inherent homoeroticism of National Football League play-by-play calling. You know, it's that you could if you took the same call from whatever the call is. Oh, I love this man. I love everything about him. He's got great hands, powerful thighs. You put your arms around a guy like this, try to pull him down, his muscles keep pumping. You know, you put that over on the gay games, and it suddenly has an entirely different connotation.
So it would seem.
But we seem to have solved it at least for the evening shows, which, you know, it's not all students.
Right.
We didn't want the show to just, you know, break down into, so for the evening shows, that's still in there.
Well, and
but I'm leaving my shirt on.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
You, to help
so it's slightly less erotic.
Yes.
Only slightly.
Well, and there were, and, you know, we stopped at pumping and pumping. Then there was a pounding and pounding and coming and coming, and that made it more overtly sexual. And so
I'm sorry. Why?
You know, look it up. Google it.
Okay.
And so you keep your shirt on, and we don't pound and come. And and it worked for the schools. They said, okay, yeah, go ahead, and you can put that back in for the schools. And then there was an issue of they flagged it in the script because I at the very beginning you introduced me by saying he bats right, he votes left, he swings both ways, and they would go, oh gosh, okay. But we were going, well, why is that bad? If the implication is that I'm bisexual, I'm clearly proud of it. Why is that an issue? I'm not ashamed of being labeled that way.
Yeah.
So isn't that good to see somebody on stage who's not ashamed
and
of being called
what?
That?
And you know what? Just like in baseball, if you are ambidextrous, you swing both ways, well, you have more chances. Well, so in life with your sexuality.
Well, and this is the great thing about our job is that we get to go up to the line and cross the line to make a point, but then come back on the other side, safely on this side of the line and say, hey, we were just making a point. You know, we're making it, so we get to have our laughs and eat them too. You know, it's like we get to play in the Shakespeare show when Reed kisses you, you kiss him or whatever it is on stage, on the onstage part. What you do backstage, I don't care about.
Okay.
But on stage, you know, you get to milk the homophobic laughs of the groans of the audience, going, oh no, they're gonna.
Well,
kiss.
I remember they were a little worried about that here.
Yeah.
Last time, but then if the kids if the adults ooh, my response is always, get over it.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Exactly.
It's the 21st century.
Yeah,
so,
get over it.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing too. We have our lines that we establish when we're performing, and the trick was finding the new lines here at the New Victory because they have lines too, and they're not quite as broad as ours. So, and that led us into the longest conversation, which is at the end of the first act. We're talking about football team names, and you're confused about the origins of some of them, but then you're also upset about the use of the word Redskin as the name for the Washington football team, the Washington Redskins.
And my character says, "No, that's fine."
Yeah.
And so, then Matt's character says,
if Redskins is okay, then how about the Detroit Darkies or the Waco Wetbacks?
Right. And we start go, whoa, hey, what?
So turn it around a little, it's not okay.
Yeah, suddenly you use a word, everybody's so used to saying Redskins, nobody has a problem with it. And yet if you use a different offensive term, suddenly people have a problem with that. Well, maybe Redskins there's a problem with Redskins too.
Yeah, so there was a big, long discussion about, well, what can we say? Honkies seemed okay.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin Whiteys is one we added in there.
Well, New York Yids. I mean, we're actually in New York. And who goes to theater? The Jews, you know? I mean, who are we going to offend? But nobody has a problem with that.
Right.
Maybe it's just because it's like, really? That's a real slur? Do people use that word?
Right. Well, so Detroit Darkies and, Charleston Chinks are out. And we said, but the point is that those are bad terms to use.
Yeah.
And they were saying, in schools, you're not allowed to use any of it. And so if you hear it on stage, is that at some level, it's the argument about Huck Finn that uses the N-word. Well, now in some schools, you can't even read Huck Finn because the N-word is in there, even though it's used to make the point against racism.
Right.
And that's the long discussion we had about what can we say and what can't we
well,
say.
And it also, that presupposes that, you know, I know my kids watch an enormous amount of inappropriate television. I mean, South Park is enormously inappropriate. But my kids know what language is inappropriate.
Yeah.
And the reason it's funny is because you're laughing because you laugh at the forbidden.
Mm.
And they say stuff and you go, oh my God, are they allowed to say that? You know, and there's that shock. And I think particularly in South Park's case, and I like to think in our case as well, we're using that shock value to make a satirical point. It's not just an Adam Sandler movie and you're being gross for no purpose.
Now, the funny thing, and perhaps the counterintuitive thing about all of these conversations and experimentation, is that many, perhaps most of the changes we've been making to the script here at the New Victory to make it family-friendly are actually improvements. So I asked Mary Rose Lloyd, the director of programming here at the New Victory Theater, to join the conversation, and she told me about how interesting it is finding the line with theater companies from other countries who often have a different take on where the line is.
the companies that are maybe have a tradition of doing theater for young audiences in different countries also have different standards and different thoughts about what it is to be a child in the world and what is appropriate for a child audience and what is not. So I find that really interesting in bringing, seeing a work, let's say, from the Netherlands, because the Dutch are particularly bold, I think, in their theatrical choices, especially for kids. And, you know, I've had lots of cultural translation conversations and really wonderful responses from different artists and directors saying, you know, if a work was in a different language, like literally in Dutch or in French, and we were bringing it to the United States, we would translate it, unless you're doing a play in the language and with supertitles, but let's say, you know, you would translate it, and when you translate into a language, there will be nuances and changes, and you adjust for language. And that's sort of the same thing. It's like, you know, if nudity in a show for 10 to 12 year olds is standard in the Netherlands, which I'm not saying it is, but just as an extreme example.
Those wacky Dutch.
They are. You know, perhaps it might not be as simple as that in this country, and for particularly for teachers and for parents too. So you know, that we're doing a piece in our Dutch festival. That's why it's on my mind in January from a theater company called Artemis, who are doing an adaptation of Wuthering Heights.
Okay.
And at the beginning of the piece, pretty close to the top of the show, Heathcliff gets bathed on stage. And I remember when I was seeing the piece for the first time. It's gorgeous piece of theater. It's literally windswept, but you know, it's very symbolic in the way that they demonstrate the moors and you know, it's just amazing what they're doing. But I thought, oh my gosh, you know, what are we gonna do with nudity? How are we gonna be able to make that fly? And the truth is that it's a adaptation. It is for ages 13 and up, and it's a quick bathing scene where they're bathing, you know, his backside is exposed.
Right.
And we just put it in our materials about the show that there is brief nudity on stage, and we just, as long as we're letting people know what
just
to expect
front.
Just up front, we're letting that happen. But the company was quite open to talking about, you know, how to shade it and how. And then they were quite amused by the fact that, you know, we might even ask about it. But at the end of the day, after talking with our staff here and with the company, we decided that it's in context and it's innocent enough and it's artistically done, and we shouldn't be censoring that. We just need to prepare people to know what they're coming to see.
Well, you guys are very good about that with your artists, and if I can include the Reduced Shakespeare Company in that rubric of artists, you guys are very sensitive about, well, we don't want to just be censoring people but right and left, but you're not at all like that. But it, it's what we were talking about, that finding the line and dancing the dance and choosing your battles, and some battles are not worth fighting. And we find this, I mean, again, you see a guy's bare butt in a bathing scene. In an evening performance with families is one kind of an audience. You see it at 11 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of middle school kids or high school kids. That's a different experience.
Correct.
And we have found we've changed things almost every kid's performance because you have to. And not for reasons of propriety of taste, mostly just because they're so screaming and out of control at a reference to booty call
right.
You go, oh my God, I just want to get out of here. I will do anything to get out of here.
I think the important the thing to take away from all of that is that as long as the piece does not have to cripple its artistic integrity, as long as what is in its place is, you know, if it's replaced with something that still makes the artistic point that was being made, then you're good. And if the joke's still the same, or if it can be tweaked to be the same and have the same effect, if the scene can happen and still not take away from its artistic intention, then you're good. And that's the bottom line. It really isn't about censorship. It's about that translation.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your off-color language via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, ball boy Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Diana Whitley. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to David Carlyon. Pick up your copy of Dan Rice, the Most Famous Man You've Never Heard Of, wherever fine reading materials are sold. Thanks also to Mary Rose Lloyd and all the good folks here at the New Victory Theater for helping us tiptoe successfully through the minefield of age appropriateness. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 255 765th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. You know, there was one other line we forgot to mention, and we weren't sure whether we were going to be able to keep it in the show or not, but we were, thankfully, able to keep the reference to ex-Congressman Wiener. Ex-Congressman Wiener is intact. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less.